Hello and welcome back to the Left Field Thinking podcast. We're still on our Commonwealth Games specials and today is our African preview where we're looking at all five of the African teams taking part at Birmingham 2022. I'm delighted to be joined by three special guests. Firstly, a South African coaching double act, Ross PSI Willis and Brinsley Powell, plus former Kenyan international hockey player, full-time coach and FIH coach educator, Moses Kagochi. Enjoy the show. Right, okay, so we're all here. I'm delighted to kick off our African special, looking at the Commonwealth Games. We're going to be focusing on the two South African teams, the Kenyan women's team and the two Ghanaian teams, of which apparently I'm the expert here, but I'm hoping that some of you will be able to give some insight into Ghana. So we've got three special guests, well, two special guests and Bryn. First one, I'll introduce Moses, former Kenyan international. Do you want to say hello, Moses?
Hey, hello, guys. Hi.
So what? Where are you at the moment? You're in Kenya?
Yeah, I'm in Kenya. I'm based in Netherlands. But now I had come for a break. So I'm back home here in Kenya.
Excellent. And I think what would be quite nice, because they're a little double act, if they'd like to introduce each other. So Ross, would you like to introduce Bryn?
Of course. So Brinsley Powell, a student of the game, absolute scholar. Very interested to hear all his feedback on, because he would have definitely researched the Ghanaian teams. and obviously coaching in South Africa at the moment, but he's coming across to Ireland shortly, coaches men, as well as obviously looking to get involved with the Irish under 21 men as a coaching position there as well. Obviously big indoor head and overall hockey lover.
He's very good with technology as well, as his delayed entry to this conversation suggests.
Not his strong point.
Yeah. Bryn?
Hi, everybody. Brinsley Powell here. As you've heard already, sometimes the butt of the joke, but Ross Willis is a South African currently living abroad. And he's living in Dublin, second year there now. Real brilliant program developer and man manager, as his crucial coaching strengths, but knows a lot more about all the teams than makes out. Pretends not to, but certainly just as big a scholar and a badger of the game as us four. So awesome to have him on board.
I tell you what's really good as well is, Brinsley, that you've been able to come and record this episode of the podcast, despite the fact that you're on a submarine, by the sound of it.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what's really working. I might have to leave the podcast and come back on. I don't know.
Yeah, if you want to drop in and out, that's fine. I've got some breaking news. Breaking news. I probably need to talk about Scotland women as well first. I woke up this morning to a text from Chris Duncan. I'm not sure if it was irate, but it was certainly forthright. Yesterday on the pod with Susan McGilvery, we said about five Scotland women's players are in isolation. Apparently there was just a series of additional PCR tests because of close contacts, and the whole squad is fine and they are raring to go for the first game against South Africa. So that's maybe a bit of a blow to the South African women. We'll see. We'll see what Ross and Bryn say about that later. Additionally, Eddie Ockenden has today been announced as the Australian flag bearer for the whole of the Commonwealth Games. This will be his fourth games, and obviously he's had three gold medals so far, looking for his fourth. Australia always winning the gold at the Commonwealth with the men's. And then we mentioned yesterday, probably lining into our sort of conversation about Ghana drawing a practice match with the men against Pakistan. I mean, practice matches are practice matches, but that was quite an interesting development, I suppose, coming from the camp at Birmingham Uni. Right, I'm gonna throw it out there and go to Moses first, and just want to have a chat. You're our Kenyan expert. Talk about this women's team.
Yeah. This team actually has been together for the last 5 years. 5 years ago, we decided that we want to try the youth, and so we've been on a building up phase. Every tournament, they used to take 3 or 4 newcomers, and so this bunch of team, this group of players, have been together, played in the Africa Cup of Nations, and got a bronze. Apparently, they are young, energetic, athletic. And I just think it somehow talks about the future of the Kenyan hockey, because we are investing in the young players. They have very dynamic players, very strong runners of the ball. And I think the one element they have, they are not scared. And I think they don't respect big teams. I mean, they don't have the fear factor like the older players. When they know they are going to play maybe Australians, they used to get scared, but these guys are ready to go. So I don't know. I just hope they don't have a stage fright. But if they just play to their strength, I think it's going to be interesting. A very, very good side. I've worked with them for some time, so I'm quite comfortable and sure.
So who should we look out for in the team? Who's going to be the difference maker in this Kenyan women's team?
There's Jili Okumu, who is the captain. She plays in Germany. She's quite fast, quite good ball handler. And yeah, she has an orthodox style of scoring goals. So not the usual way, but she's quite awesome. We also have a defender known as Vivian. She'll be her 5th or 6th cap. Very good tackler, very good ball passer. And of course, we have twins in the team. Her name is Alice Owiti, the one who scored the goal against Ghana. Mm-hmm. She's awesome. She just has a way of being the right place at the right play at the right time. Yeah. But overall, I think they're dynamic, and I think that's what this tournament is good. They're dynamic, and it's very hard to know what they'll do, because we've allowed them to play their own flair, but still try to stick to the principles. So it's gonna be nice to see how the European teams and the other countries try to manage them.
Moses, on that, apparently they've been in like a closed camp for like 6 to 8 weeks, and then before that they've been training like 2 to 3 times a week, as well as obviously a couple of weekend camps. Is that
true?
And then secondly, would that be a normal thing? Was it just the build up to Com Games?
It was a build up. This time, I think we've been having problems trying to assemble them together, because some of them come from different towns. But this time, I think the government also paying a lot of attention to team events, thought that it would be wise to have them together for some time. So I think it was deliberate, trying to make sure that we have them playing as a team. So it was deliberate for this tournament.
Yeah, well, that's obviously then exciting, because I think then the structures, apparently the coach Jackie has a really good rapport or relationship with the players. So hopefully over across that period, the amount of contact time she actually was able to have with them, that's kind of like a little bit more exciting to what, without being condescending, without knowing the plans, I would have thought maybe Kenya would have been a little bit more tricky to get everyone to a camp due to finances. Yeah. So it's quite exciting to know that they're coming in really, really prepared.
Yeah, and I think also all the top coaches from Kenya also gave their role, played their role. Everybody had a role to play, and I think it's we have taken it as a communal job to make sure that our players become better, despite the head coach or who is there. It becomes our overall responsibility. I think for me, it's a game changer for Kenyan hockey, because everybody sees this team as their own. and everybody has something to play. So it's awesome. Great environment for them to grow.
Brilliant. No, but yeah, very exciting. I saw that you obviously mentioned a young team. I see they have an average age of like 22, which is obviously brilliant. And then I was interested, is it Gilly? Is it her sister or is it a relation, Maureen?
No. They are very close, but they're not related.
Okay. Because apparently she's quite a threat as well. I don't know if you know much about her.
Yeah, she's I coached her in the university team. She's very fast, and so we've been trying to see how we can take advantage of our speed. So basically it's that's why I'm saying it's a dynamic team, because most of the players are from the university, and back home in Kenya the university league is very, very strong. So I'm really curious to see how they will perform in the big stage. I saw them in Ghana, how they played, and yeah, it was an unfortunate tournament late, so they could only win a bronze. But yeah, it's amazing to see how they'll take. Everybody there is young. We have only I think three experienced players. That's in Gushu, who's a veteran in the team. We have Flavian, who played a bit in Germany, has been a bronze medalist. But the rest of the group, as you said, they are all young players. So it's a risk, but I think that's the right risk to take with this group of players.
It's quite a tough schedule, I would say. And the pool, you look at the pool itself, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Scotland, that's a pretty pretty hard group. But I suppose looking at the schedule, first day, playing New Zealand, second day playing Australia, and then you would look at it and you would probably say you've got the more accessible matches in terms of Scotland on day four and then finishing off against South Africa. How do you see this pool going? Realistically, where do you think a good placing would be for the Kenyan team?
Wow, that's super interesting, because we played South Africa in Africa Cup of Nations. We lost 2-1.
Yeah.
So it's. I think they're gonna have a goal. I think for them, the feeling they have that they have to prove their worth being there, and playing Australia and New Zealand. After the World, I mean Australia after the World Cup will be tough. So I'm looking at them trying to be among the top four. It's a hard bargain, but yeah. I think they just have to manage themselves well. Levels for me, the most important games is the first one. How you go towards it, your mentality towards it, and how you recover. So it's very interesting to see how they come. But I think they'll try. And be among the top four, so the team from there. But it's gonna be interesting. Australia is very strong. New Zealand also are strong. South Africa, when we play against them, it's very tricky, because as I said before, we play a different kind of hockey. There's a lot of flair and a lot of use of our strength and speed. So I would like to see how it will go. But I'm pushing to see how they take on the first game. But realistically speaking, they should try and go for the top four.
Yeah, I look at this pool. I think I spoke yesterday on the Scotland episode. I think, in terms of opposition, I think looking at New Zealand with Olivia Mary up front, I think they've potentially got goals in them as long as she gets the ball around the circle. I mean, she's a fabulous player. And Australia at the World Cup looked pretty complete as a unit. You know, really impressive bronze. I think they are growing and building, and they love the Commonwealth Games, the Aussies. So the South African game obviously is the one you probably know best, and potentially a really nice way to finish off that pool stage going into classification matches.
And I think. I know most players from the South African team, and when I talk to them, they're always like, "Oh, Moses, we don't like playing Kenya. Why? Because they keep on coming on you, and that's the mentality we would like to build on our team, that the game is it's determined in the field, you know, and it's dynamic. I also think the strength of the teams will come who will be able to recover quicker during the tournament, because it's all about your endurance. And I believe that the Kenyans have that in the advantage. But again, it's all, when you coach a team, it's all about their mentality when they face the opponents. Maybe, so that's why I said initially, I just hope they don't have stage fright playing against Australia, knowing that they're bronze medalists. So I'm really curious to see how they'll take the first game. Game against South Africa, it's awesome. It will be a cracker. I think it's an African derby. And the girls know that they have a point to prove back at home after they won the bronze in Africa Cup of Nations, and losing 2-1 to South Africa, and they were leading, you know. So, yeah, it's a little bit of mental strength, which will make us see what will happen. But I'm really curious to see how they take on the field.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've got tickets for them versus Scotland. So I'll send you a text as to how they're playing.
Yeah. And the beauty about it is that I'm also in touch with the technical team. So it's a shame I could not be there, but I'm very happy to see that most of the players are really hungry. They are really hungry and they are passionate, you know. So yeah, so let's see how the dynamics come into play.
Right. So we're going to move on. A very brief chat on Ghana men. I suppose they are in a pretty tough pool. They've got England, India, and Wales in that pool, who are all pretty strong at the moment. Canada look like they could be quite weak, given the team that they're taking over there. So that's probably the one they would look at. But I would say, with a world ranking of 36 and finishing fifth at the African Cup of Nations, is probably going to be quite a hard slog for them this tournament. However, all their games were pretty close in the African Cup of Nations. Rounds, they were really unlucky to go out, drawing 1-1 with Nigeria, only losing 1-0 to Egypt, who are probably the strong team in that pool, you would say, and then drawing 1-1 with Uganda. They ended up then playing Uganda and beating them 6-1 again in the fifth sixth game.
Yeah.
Interesting news that I saw the other day is that Ali Ganzafar, who is a former Pakistan international, but a bit of a legend in England. You know, he's played in the National League for years. He's gone over to take over as head coach in the build-up to this tournament. And obviously, building on that, they've had the 1-1 practice match draw against Pakistan.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be quite a tough competition for them.
Yeah. So apparently I was in Africa Cup of Nations. I was working with them as an analyst.
Yeah.
And they didn't have most of their players. Some of the majority of their players had joined the military, and now they're available. They have some very dynamic, about 5 or 6 players who I think to me, they are the game changers. I think the biggest problem they had, it's underrating other teams, because they have that problem. But I think now the training camp was very energetic. They started training about 2 to 3 months ago. And I think what Ali has brought there is just the pure ethos of hard work, build up of strength, and just work on their technical skills, because they are very, very strong players. They are very good passers of the ball. And I was really, really curious to see how they play. I mean, when they took a 1-1 draw with South Africa and against Pakistan, I know it's just a test match, but I think he has really done a good job mentally to deal with that, because I think their biggest problem in other tournaments they've played, it's mentally. They can go 2-3 goals up, then suddenly they crash, you know?
Yeah.
And I think most probably could be on the roles of substitutions, that's a challenge that we've been discussing with them. But I see them, they can be a game shocker, because I think they have a very, very gifted team. some guys playing in France. There's Michael Baden, who plays in South Africa, very, very fast player. And some experienced guys. So I want to see how they handle it. Again, as I said before, for these African teams, how they play their first game, the mentality they go to with it in the game gives them belief. But I think they are quite strong this time. They are a bit, with the new player, the players who are not there in the Africa Cup of Nations coming in, they have a very strong side, I believe.
Where do you think they'll be looking to attack this pool? So, as I said, India and England, I think, are two outstanding teams, actually, at this Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
Canada, Wales, where do you think they'll be looking at that and going out to try and get a result?
For them, from their mentality, they love the big games.
Yeah.
So that's why I talked about the mentality.
Yeah.
You see, like, the first game when they played against, when they were playing Uganda in Africa Cup of Nations, I told them Uganda had brought a team here in Kenya and they played our under 21 and they beat us. So the Ghanaians were like, Uganda is a very small team. And that's why I talked about their mentality. But when they play big teams, when they play Ghana, when they play Egypt, South Africa, Kenya, when they're playing people like Pakistan, the English, I think somehow they come up like lions.
Yeah.
And my worry will be against the small teams, but against big teams they really come up gun blazing. So I want to see the first two games will be very critical. I would love to see the game against England. Again, remember these guys. In Africa we love playing with our flair. So and it's very difficult to play the team which has a flair. You know, it's very hard for you. They're unpredictable. Yeah, so vis-a-vis when you play a team like, for example, if England is playing against Wales, for example, they know their structures. But so the big games for me is against the big boys. My worry would be against the so-called Canada and Wales because they're like, yeah, but yeah, they have a very strong team, and I think this time they can give some upsets. It's interesting to watch.
Sorry, Will, can I jump in there quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so obviously, I mean, if you look at the squad, it's certainly, and it's quite interesting to hear that those six players were then able to come back. Obviously, with a military background, you'd like to think that their conditioning is probably going to be elite. But like with an average age probably of sitting around 30, 31, when they come up against the likes of a Wales, who's certainly going to be a hard man-to-man, like put it down to a foot race, obviously it can be pros and cons to both of that. But I think it's definitely going to be an interesting one where if it becomes a physical battle between that, the opposing number, I think Ghana, that could be the game where, and also with the experience that they have, playing as a man-to-man system might actually suit them. I don't know, just something to throw out.
But I think the Welsh should be quite interesting in that game because they've done really well in European competition recently. And basically based on sitting deep and being quite stubborn and then getting corners and they took England to a draw in the last Euros and actually looked really good. In a game against Ghana, they probably will have to play in a different way because
they'll want to go for it more.
Yeah, and they'll want to occupy the ball more. Now, by doing that and playing something that or in a way that they're maybe not used to, that could provide great opportunities for Ghana.
Yeah. And I also think I can't see the captain of Ghana allowing someone like a Draper to peacock and run the show, as good as obviously Draper is at doing that.
Yeah.
I think that'll be when he's up against someone that is not shy probably to take him out the game. I'll be quite interested to see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that the challenge, one of the biggest problems that Ghana had, sometimes they ever exert themselves physically. And so my worry would be if their teams have very good penalty corners, that gets them off guard. But if they defend with a little more discipline, it becomes easy. And I like the fact you say the captain of Ghana, he's really experienced, played in Belgium. And he's, I think, the most experienced player there. He's a very super good attacking midfielder. So again, as you said, I saw Wales play. They're well balanced. I think in this game they have to be very Ghanaians on, as you said, apply more pressure, try get more corners. But if it's normal field play, and if they go man to man, I think, as you said, Ghana will come out superior, because that's basically their strength. They really hard tacklers. They apply a lot of pressures, body pressure, stick pressure, always. And so if you get guys who are very good with the ball, ball carriers, maybe can infringe a lot of penalty corners. And if Wales have a good corner, maybe. I think most of the games Ghana lost against Egypt, against South Africa, it was mainly on corners. But on the field, normal play, they are quite good. And they know the individual tasks quite well. So, it would be good to watch that one.
I think the other thing I would say, just jumping in, you look at the teams in that pool, India under quite a lot of pressure because of, their performances in the Pro League. They're probably one of the form teams going into this and should be looking to get to the final. England, again, a big favourite. Home team, home Commonwealth Games, loads of pressure. Wales, as close as you can get to a home games for them, and they fancy themselves, I think, the Welsh, particularly against the English. So those, you're going up against those teams. They probably are not focused on the Ghana game as much as they are looking forward to the rest of the tournament. And again, you've got England first up against Ghana. That could be a real upset. I hope it's not, but it could be. Just because psychologically there's loads going on there.
Yeah, the banana skin.
Yeah. Personally, I think that's what I talk about. The beauty about Commonwealth is, for me, I'm not a firm believer of the rankings. Okay, because, sorry to say this, the rankings doesn't favor African teams because of the tournaments we play. Maybe we play one tournament in 2 years, two or three tournaments in 1 year. But it becomes a really game of who really wants it. I really feel a bit sad for India and England because of the pressure. And what I've seen, I saw England play, they're awesome. But when they're under a lot of pressure, a lot of errors come into play. And sometimes these games, it's all about who makes more mistakes. Who is at the edge of their skin, So, yeah. The pressure will really build up as actually for the first game. And if Ghana a shocker, guess what happens to the whole dynamics of that team, of the whole group? So it's amazing. It's really interesting to see what is going to happen. But I like what the point you said about pressure. And Ghana have, for them, is like, hey, we are here to show our worth. So they have, it's all about them showing that they can play. But the other guys, like, we have to win. India, under a lot of pressure back home, they have to win a medal. They haven't won a medal, despite how they played in the Pro League. So it's a juggle, But I'm really curious. And that's what I said again. I would like to see the first games, especially for the African teams, to me, will really show what they're really up to.
So let's jump over and move on to South African men. Now, for me, Gareth Ewing there is doing an amazing job. He's unleashed this team of young attacking players. I thought, despite some of the results, they're actually their games were some of the best to watch at Tokyo, because you've got the two Cassiums and people like that who just go for it. And it's really refreshing. Probably in the group of death in this men's tournament with Australia, who are, I think, odds on to win the gold, New Zealand, who are always strong, Pakistan, who can beat probably anyone on their day, and a pretty strong Scotland team. Ross and Bryn, you're our resident SAFers. I don't know who wants to jump in first, but talk to me about the South African men's team.
Bryn, do you want to start?
Yeah, look, I think what's really important to note at the moment is that the South African guys team has probably had the most contact time as a group in probably the last sort of like 8-9 years. You know, they've had, they're the only team outside of England that have played Pro League. They've had that sort of level of practice and competitive matches. The group has actually been one that's predominantly come through the levels together within two under 21 cycles, barring one or two. And yeah, I think the team really have bought into each other. There's a great camaraderie. Ross and myself know a lot of them quite well. And the group of them, they want to almost make this sort of 2-year stint count before maybe the next cycle sort of comes into play. So there's a great group. There's always a talk about the Kassims. Ross and myself have had the pleasure of working alongside them and spending some time. But it's not just them. There's a lot of leadership in the group. Guys Brown, you know Will from English hockey. He can flick a ball. Beauchamp, now playing at Reading, can also flick a ball. Bell in Belgium. There's some great, great players there. And I secretly think that they quiet in what they want to achieve, but they would be hunting to do an upset, come second in the pool and look to play in a semi-final. I don't know, Ross, if you would see it any differently or if there's anyone else that you would add to that list.
No, I think you're spot on there. Obviously, the Kassims and the style that they play between the Kassims, Billy and Tully, Ryan Julius coming through the lines. Obviously, you can add there's plenty more Spooner from Germany. I think, obviously, they're going to play an attacking style. They're going to be there to be creative. They're going to express themselves like more than I would like to think, say, maybe of the rigidity of other teams, which could play in their hands. Up against Pakistan, as you said, drew against Ghana in build-up, which, again, warm-up games, you never know what's the plan. But I think just to reiterate the strength of PCs. Now, again, I don't have all the stats in front of me, but Matthew Guys Brown, probably one of the top four flickers in the world. Could be quite a big call, but I think if we
bold, but he's consistent.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the, like, PC defense of, say, Pakistan and Scotland, I think that's going to be where they've consistently done well. Australia, New Zealand. I know New Zealand had a camp in Holland recently. Obviously, they had two games cancelled against Ireland, which they probably were banking on for extra prep. So I really think the coming off the back of Pro League, World Cup, and warm up. They brought in a sports psychologist as well. Again, all could be a little bit of optics, but at the same time, I think they're in the best possible space they've been in. And now it's probably actually about, after that result against Germany in the World Cup, how do they actually carry that through and show that they can continue to do it because they have everything at their hands to do it?
I mean, for me, one of the things I saw at the World Cup is I thought the keeper actually had a bit of a shock. Not the World Cup, at the Olympics. I thought the keeper had a bit of a shocker.
I said World Cup, I meant Olympic.
Do you think that's an area of vulnerability or are we going to see an improvement there?
Well, I think we've obviously got to be careful here as the patriotic South Africans, even who might be abroad or moving abroad. But
In short answer, yes.
At the Olympics, a different goalkeeper who was playing his last tournament.
Yeah.
So a new goalie or goalies all the same. So Sia Nolotungu and Garwin Jones, obviously now the incumbents, whereas that was Rassie Peterson. But I think further than that, it's I think the defense as a group have also gotten better in team defending. They still give away a good couple of unnecessary penalty corners, which I think is a concern. But as a group defensively, that sort of back five, back six grouping has certainly gotten better. Nolichungu is mobile. Jones is a very, very technically sound goalie. So maybe that will be an improvement, but obviously the jury is out.
Got quite a nice start to the tournament as well, I think, looking at the game. So you don't play on day one. First game on the Saturday against Pakistan. You would hope that that's one, if the team is serious about getting to the semis, which I think there's quite a quite a lot of potential, hard group, but I think there's potential there, then you've probably got to go out, beat the Pakistanis straight away. Then your next game, you have a day off. Then you're playing against Scotland again, a must-win game if you want to progress. However, on the Wednesday, you're playing Australia and then finishing off on the Thursday against New Zealand. They're probably, you would say, the tougher games. I know Australia, was speaking to Ollie Willage yesterday. We had him on looking at the England men's team. I know Australia are currently in the Netherlands or have been this week playing against the Dutch team and apparently look unbelievably good. So how do you think this pool is going to run in terms of these group games?
I think obviously you've nailed it there in terms of their build up, but I think in a dream world, if they can get results against Pakistan and Scotland, I think that Australia game, whatever happens there, you know, have a rattle. But I think that New Zealand game is all built up to kind of be a little bit of a mini final. And I think coming with Scotland's prep as well, I mean, they've played a lot of games. They only finalized their squad after keeping the squad together for the Four Nations now, which was just under 3 weeks ago. Four sides going to score. I have no doubt about that. So it's kind of, as you say, a group of death. Pakistan, at no point are they going to be easy to play against. They're going to play a different style to a lot of what the South African teams would have come up against in the Olympics and Pro League. So in short, I do believe they can get a result against Pakistan and Scotland. Australia, I would imagine, should go Australia's way. And then it probably will be a final against New Zealand.
I think if they're intelligent with it, the truth is, Ross said, is every single team in this pool can score goals. You know, Pakistan on their given day could probably score five and you wouldn't even blink an eyelid. Scotland, Alan Forsyth is world class. Cammy Golden can play.
Jamie Golden as well is an excellent. He's going to be in the GB team, I think. He's a gun.
A little hidden treat there about Scotland, their PC threat. They've added this little bit of a bunt, slip flick left. And I think they've been scoring it consistently. So, and they can do it the moment they threaten high left, the goalkeeper offsets left and they play bottom right. But it's, what's Golden's first name? Jamie's definitely got a massive PC threat on him as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, like we know New Zealand, they've got, Kane Russell, who can also flick a ball really, really well. So if I was South Africa based with on some of those flicking options like we saw in Pro League with Beauchamp, Bell, and Guys Brown at Olympics, plus Ntuli, you know, there's a good couple of the forwards. Maybe South Africa go bold and look to win every game sort of 5-3. I know it's high risk, high reward, but
I think, Bryn, to be honest, like that would make a great tournament because, as you said, there's goals in this pool. There's five pretty good teams in here that can all score. If all of them are going out and just going, you know, sod it, let's try and score. What we're going to be treated to some amazing games of hockey.
Yeah, dead on.
Yeah. So if I can make you put your money where your mouth is, where are they finishing, Brinsley?
They are going to come second and they're going to draw with New Zealand and get through on goal difference.
Okay. So we go
second in the pool. Unfortunately, then they will lose the semi-final to India and come fourth.
Okay. Ross?
Finish third in the pool, play Wales and beat them, finish fifth.
Okay. Right, so if we go on now and we're going to talk about Ghana women. Obviously, at the last Commonwealth Games, Ghana were there, drew 1-1 with Wales in their classification game, losing on shuffles. I suppose that's got to fill them with confidence, given the fact that they're in that Welsh group this time. They've just finished second at the African Cup of Nations, which they hosted, losing 3-1 to South Africa. And actually, at one point, they were 1-1. And I've watched the highlights of that game, and I think it's fair to say the South African women were rattled.
Yeah, certainly.
So there was, and the crowd was amazing. Obviously, I think they smelt a bit of blood there. But looking at the game, they that 3-1, the 1-1 was from a penalty stroke. Pretty much the whole time they were sat at half court, which frustrated the Saffers. I mean, they looked so negative in this game, the South Africans, just passing sideways the whole time. And then the majority of how they play, as I said, half court, there was occasionally this big aggressive full press with a high split. But the majority of how they're playing with the ball, trying to get it down the right-hand side, looking to, I think, the player who's playing at right-back was Joela Akwa. Moses, I'm sure you can correct my pronunciation on that. Yeah. She looks like a cracking player, and I think we'll get a lot of the ball out there. The other person who I thought has been a bit of a standout is their captain, Nafisatu Umaru. Again, correct my pronunciation. She scored in their 2-1 win against Zimbabwe in the African Cup of Nations, and is obviously incredibly experienced. I think those two, for me, are probably going to be the big, big standouts. But then, obviously, looking at this pool, pretty tough in the women's side, where you've got a strong India team, although maybe not in form, a pretty good England team, young, quite exciting, depends how they turn up and if they can be consistent, with probably about 6, I think, Olympic gold medalists in it. Then you've got the Canada women's team, who are pretty athletic. I spoke to Scott Tupper and Keely Dunn the other day about them. They were quite confident with how the Canadians are going to perform. Welsh women's, where Elliot is assisting, he tells me they're great, but we'll see. And then,
of course he does.
Yeah, of course he does. Now, yeah. I think it's a really tough pull for them, Moses. I don't know what you think and what you know about this group.
Very experienced group. You mentioned right on the players to watch. There's one player that people don't know. Her name is Elizabeth Opoku. She's so fast. Actually, the flick they got, the penalty they got, came from her. Just like the previous tournaments, this time I think they'll be better because Africa Cup of Nations, they're not in a very good physical condition. But now they're, I think the head coach has really worked on their physical condition. For me, what I see is... they have some young players also, but I can say 80% of the team has stayed together for so long. So they have experience coming in. So what I'm looking at this time is if they're going to take their chances. Sometimes, as you said, when they go one goal down, typically it affects their whole play. But I'm curious to see what the head coach has done with them right now. If they're in a good physical condition, trust me, they're gonna cause a lot of problems. Again, they have a very good penalty corner, Nafisatu. Played in Italy for some time, but also very, very experienced. And their keeper is quite good. The keeper is very, very good. So again, a tough group, but I would like to see they played. They beat Kenya 2-1 in a practice match. Again, as you said, practice match as interesting, but Kenya and Ghana is never a friendly affair. So I think they might be in a very good physical condition. Yeah, that's what to watch. They play basically it's on they love using the wings mostly because they have very fast players on the right and the left. Their major undoing is basically on discipline in terms of individual discipline for the players. They give a lot of short corners. So again, I don't know the plan for the other teams, but if they get corners against them, it can hurt them. But it's a solid team this time. Solid team.
I think, again, the psychology and the pressure is at play in this pool. I mean, England are not as good as they were 4 years ago, but they'll have more pressure on them, probably given the fact that they are at home and it's a home Commonwealth Games. India, who is the first game actually that Ghana have on the Friday, they've had a pretty pants World Cup after a really impressive Tokyo Olympics. They're going to be under pressure to actually turn up at this tournament, I think, on the back of that World Cup. So if Ghana can stay in that game for a bit, who knows what happens? Because the players could lose their heads, the Indians, and then the tournament's wide open. As I say, I mean, the Canadians are confident, so that in itself is pressure on them to perform. I think it could be quite an interesting pool, really, for Ghana. Ross, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I like the idea of saying what potentially could happen. I think you're definitely building it up for Ghana to maybe have an upset. I mean, if I'm Ghana, I'm probably looking to just, considering our last time we played India, we lost 13-0. I'm probably more than likely looking to target that and say, let's get one back. Let's try get narrow that margin or that deficit. Are they good enough to beat India? They shouldn't be. So I think one positive for them, their rankings, if they look at their prep, they have five players with 50 caps who obviously would definitely be probably, considering coming from Ghana with 50 caps, it's probably the equivalent of 100 caps in any other nation. I think, they probably need to target Canada, Wales, sorry, Elliot, to get some points. But my likelihood as well, I think they'll be doing really well if they are able to finish fourth in the pool. I think if I was a betting man, I'd be placing them fifth.
I am there to watch Wales, Ghana, and I will be very partisan in my support for Ghana. I really hope, no offence to the Welsh team, it's not about you, this is about your assistant coach. I really hope that Ghana beat Wales. Moses, any thoughts? What do you think would success be for this team in this tournament?
Yeah, I think, again, be able to finish fourth, being in that, in this kind of tournaments, sometimes tournaments are not like the one-off games, because it's all also, as I said before, the mentality part comes in. And I think that's where you see teams like England and the rest coming in strong because of their mentality. So for them finishing, I can't bet they are going to push for fourth. If a miracle happens, third. But yeah, fourth is more realistic.
It was interesting. I saw an interview with the coach saying, you know, actually, we're in the top 10 teams in the Commonwealth. We've qualified for this tournament. That in itself is a real success for Ghanaian hockey. And I think they are going to be in the spotlight of this tournament. It is going to be that sort of 15 minutes of fame where people are actually talking about them, talking about their players. Which probably would not normally happen, certainly not in Europe. And I think that in itself will provide a great experience for those players individually, you know, that experience of the tournament. But also for Ghanaian hockey, having the spotlight on it can only be good for the game there.
I think just to be clear on this, I think my only worry is a continuity, because all the other African teams have really, really invested in young players. And I believe this team, 80% of them, they are above 28, 29.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why I said it can be one great tournament. But also, you know, experience is great, but in this modern hockey, it's also about the youth, how quickly you recover. I would like to see how they're gonna play, but I know they're gonna really push it hard. There's a lot of pressure on them because they get a lot of funding as the women's hockey more than the men's hockey. So again, a lot of pressure on them. Remember, they were in the TAP program for FIH where they went to UK. So there's a lot of expectation for them to prove that it was worthwhile. So again, I would like to see how they're going to take it.
Okay, so we'll move on. And I'm going to go to Brinsley first in his submarine. Brin, welcome back. Yeah, welcome back. The South African women's team. Let's go. Talk to me.
Look, I think I can speak from a little bit of a behind the scenes, just having worked with three of the players pretty closely in the last while, and have had the pleasure of also being able to sit around a table and have a coffee with Giles Bonnet, the ladies coach, the new ladies coach. So, yeah, it's a team that's in a changing state. It's about 4 months into a new cycle, but obviously as Giles Bonnet took over, there was also two big tournaments, i.e. the World Cup and now Commonwealth. So it was a catch-22 about wholesale changes versus keeping the team as is, but I know he wanted to refresh a little bit. He's definitely put a certain style, which I won't divulge too much on, but it's been pretty clear if you watch enough video or games of the way they are trying to play. And to my knowledge, they've added a lot of staffing as well in terms of some conditioning based aspects and video based aspects. So they've widened their pool management wise. The squad knows each other quite well. There's, I'd say 85% have played a lot of hockey together. And there are five under 21s or recent graduates under 21s who played in the home tournament in Potchefstroom at the start of the year. I'd be more intrigued to see this team in a year's time from now. It might be a little bit too early, but I could also be eating my words completely within 14 days' time, and maybe they're already hitting their straps 4 months into the new cycle.
Can I just say, Brinsley, I didn't invite you on to say I'm not going to tell you anything about that. Come on, tell us, how are they going to play? What are we expecting to see? Be general, but I want your opinion on how this team is going to look on the pitch.
I think, I can definitely work off the stuff you would have seen at the World Cup, and then maybe give you a little bit more. But the team is focused on playing forward fast. They're not really there to mess around and play laterally and then go forward. They want to play forward pretty quickly. And I think they've identified key strengths within their team. They've got some wheels up front, and they've got a couple of fantastic ball carriers who do have great 1v1 ability in sort of the height of attacking midfield zones. And of course, they've got two very good PC options as well now. So I think they're looking at it from sort of a money ball approach of the higher up the field we are, the less deep defending we have to naturally do. And we can put some teams under pressure with crash ball in as an option. If it doesn't come off, it can be obviously quite frustrating. But if it does come off, they might get ricochets and half chances or penalty corners from missed traps, and then it's money ball time, as one would look at it.
Do you think that change in style is as a consequence of how they looked at the African Cup of Nations? I know they won it, but they weren't, I wouldn't say, particularly impressive or exciting to watch.
That's a great question to ask me before I leave this country. I think Giles Bonnet is very astute when it comes to profiling his squad, and I think he has picked, as well as profiling other squads, and I think he identified the need to make the most out of their ball possession earlier rather than later. As well as they've spent a lot of time working on their defensive shape. And I think the two could go hand in hand, where if they defend well as a unit and then attack straight away, they're probably more inclined to really see results. And that's probably the gist of it.
Ross?
Yeah, I think one positive is that obviously Giles has had a longer period now to prep for this. I think he obviously came in relatively close to World Cup. I do echo that they have runners up top. My fear is that it's a confidence team, and after coming last at the World Cup, how much confidence is there in the group? I do believe that there's probably a good group of players and maybe players that are developing. So that divide can sometimes come through on the field. I echo what you said there. We're probably not the most attractive style in terms of being crash balls and being quite direct, in my opinion, and then not getting the outcome. I do, obviously, there was a lot of FIH pushed a lot of clips or a reward, how do I say this, compliments towards the goalkeeper, Pumela Mbanda. And she obviously had a really good World Cup. Obviously, when you come last, you probably face the most shots. So it probably makes sense. I do think that PC threat, they scored 5 goals in the World Cup, of which 4 came off PCs, although albeit 2 of them were rebounds or second or third phase. One field goal probably shows that those runners up top maybe getting the PCs, but not really getting many outcomes. I think that if they combine and they play and Kristen Payton in midfield is able to work closely with Quinita Bobs, etc., and they can build it going forward, there probably is a threat there. But if they're going to play direct hockey, counter attack, my fear is that it's not going to be successful.
I know, speaking to Elliot, they've obviously had this series against the South African women's team, the Welsh women's team have recently, which I think was both teams 1-1 and there was a draw. His view seemed to be that they're a bit leggy. I think they've had quite a brutal schedule in Europe since the World Cup. It'll be interesting whether or not they've timed that right. Obviously, Giles is really experienced, so he knows what he's doing. But if they haven't quite got that right, the tournament itself could be a bit of a nightmare for them physically.
Sure. I think there is a secret weapon in their armory, which obviously, as you rightly say, there can be human error. But there is a fantastic sports scientist, actually the same man who worked with the India woman in the phase up to the Olympics. So he's now a South African who's back in South Africa. Maybe that was part of the process. I am no sports scientist, so maybe it is badly timed, but knowing the man in play, I would be confident that it isn't. But you're dead right. They've been training a lot, and they've been having those practice games, and yeah, it will be interesting to see, no doubt. Ross, I'm not sure what you think.
It's always tricky because with the, I don't want to build players up, but with the special players, they have to work that much harder and stay on the pitch for that much longer. Yeah. And when you are coming last in a tournament, realistically, you've had to work very hard to try drive the team. So I think that's probably on the back end where it's coming from. But now the problem is they're going to the next tournament where they have to perform again. So in terms of them being seeming fatigued or potentially even a few niggles being picked up, it's not a surprise. We hope that the man that Brinsley has referenced can make some magic. But other players to look at. Obviously, there's a special player. I might be wrong here, but she was number 40 at the World Cup, and now she's number 11. Henry Lowe, who obviously doesn't have many caps in the team, and only 20, but a special weapon, and hopefully. Yeah, hopefully we can see more of her in this tournament.
Obviously, Bobs is a really good player, very experienced. Who else are we looking for then?
Yeah, Ross has definitely touched on it. I had the displeasure of having to coach against Henry Lowe last year, and a youngster, no doubt, only third year out of school, but she's got a great international career coming her way. She's predominantly played left back, but I think over time will possibly merge into the free defender in the national side. Got a great aerial. And of course, Bernie Costin, the captain of the side, Fantastic outside midfielder, sort of wing style player. So they've got some, yeah, they've got some names that people know. Taron Lombard up front got us off 2 goals against Japan. And yeah, Jean-Louis De Toy, if you haven't watched, I mean, at penalty corner time, there's this like whip style slap that gets fired in with underspin, and it's an impressive feature. Yeah, I mean, Ross will also know one or two from his days as well, having done a lot of tournament prep with some of the ladies. But yeah, Peyton as well. Often you might hear it be called Patton on the television, so it's the same player. But yeah, Peyton is quite a player as well.
Schedule wise, it looks all right. Start off on the first day against Scotland. Who, as you know, Chris, I'll say again, Chris Duncan has told me they're all ready. They're fine. They're ready to go. No worries, anyone. Stop stressing.
The whole team talk was built around your comments. I mean, you've thrown out South Africa's prep completely.
So first game, Scotland. They'll be interesting. I think they're quite good going forward, actually. I really like Sarah Jameson as a player. Obviously, Sarah Robertson up front, it will be, you know, she's incredibly experienced and is a goal threat, particularly on the back end, I would say. But in the back line, I know when the Welsh team played them, they were quite critical of Scotland's deep defence. So that could be a good start for South Africa. Then day off, then the Aussies, who I think will be pretty ruthless. Day off, then you've got Kenya, which we'll see how that one goes. And then finishing off against South Africa. And again, as I say, Olivia Mary, I just think she could well be the best player at this tournament. What do we think, looking at the group, how's that pool going to go? Where do you think you're going to finish?
Yeah, I mean, looking at that, yeah, my gut says that it's going to be between obviously Scotland and Kenya for that third spot. Sorry, Scotland, South Africa and Kenya. I think, yeah, another part is Heather McEwen from Scotland. Obviously got a residency there, was South Africa, from South Africa her whole life. So there might be a little bit of extra motivation on the other side when that game comes around, to prove her worth. My gut says that they're going to finish fourth in the pool ahead of Kenya and behind Scotland.
Bryn?
Yeah, it's, I suppose the easy answer is at the moment, Australia and New Zealand look primed and on a really good wicket. And it will be difficult to displace both and get a semi-final. And then, as you say, it's between them, Scotland and Kenya. But at the end of the day, it has been key to watch New Zealand. I think Coach Smith has got the sides really playing well, but they don't ever hang a lot of goals in them. So maybe South Africa go with a different strategy to the men and play tight and go for a hit and run 2-1 win here and there. But realistically, I feel it might come down to the Scotland-South Africa game for third spot. We know Chris Duncan on this phone call, a lot of us. I know he's pretty proud of the processes at the moment, but I'm positive South Africa can pull a result against Scotland and place third, but New Zealand might just have too much in the tank.
Okay, so just thank you for that. That's great input from everyone. I think hopefully this will let people go into this tournament who maybe don't see these teams that often with a bit more information, eyes wide open, hopefully. I'm just going to go around the room, there's a virtual room, and what I'd like to know is, who do you think is going to win the gold medal, men and then women? And who do you think the surprise package of the tournament would be? So we'll start off with Moses. Who do you think is going to win the men's gold at the Commonwealth?
This one, for me, I think Australia. I think Australia, they have the grits for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the women, I'll fancy England, surprisingly. I know Australia did very well, but I'll fancy them because they have a point to prove, but also they are coming to a general. I've been talking to the coaches and it's a new group, a new ladies who want to take the risk. So yeah, that's my take.
Okay, and who surprise package of the tournament? Who's gonna come from nowhere?
I will, of course, I'll vote for the women. I'll go for Kenya. I think because they have been in the dark for so long, and people sometimes write them off. Not because I'm a Kenyan, but I think I've worked with this group for some time, and they have that. They don't have the fear factor affecting them. For the men, I think Pakistan. You guys, you forgot who is working with them. We forgot that it's Siegfried Eichmann.
Mighty Siegfried.
Yeah.
So and he told me he was been really was shocked on the talent they have, but the lack of technical discipline. So I know he's worked that. So Pakistan might surprise some people. Yeah, for me.
Brinsley.
The men's, I will go bold and say India are going to start winning tournaments. I think they will beat Australia in the final, even with Paul Revington working his magic. England will only come third. The women's division, I will also go bold and say that a New Zealand-Australia final will be decided by New Zealand winning the final for the women.
Second gold medal in a row then for New Zealand women.
Okay, good. Fair point. And then the surprises of the tournament for the men's. I obviously, in my heart, know it's South Africa, but they're no longer a surprise. People take them quite seriously. They've had a great sort of last year and a half. The surprise will be Wales. I think Wales will place third in their group, and I've got a feeling that... even if they finish sixth overall, they are on a good wicket at the moment. In the females, I think the surprise package could possibly be Scotland women just showing great progress. But I think everyone expects Australia to win. So New Zealand to win and be the surprise at how dominant they are.
Yeah, fair. Ross?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be an all-Australian affair with them winning the men and the women. I'm probably a natural bit of bias here. I think the South African men, yes, they might be known from their recent events, but I think they're going to play a style that's going to get them a lot of publicity, and I think people are going to enjoy it. And I do like the comments that Moses made about Pakistan. They could also be a bit of a dark horse. And the women, I'm going to say Kenya, because I know for a fact that they're going to be pushed massively on social media by relative parties. And I think it's going to be very exciting to see them, on the international stage where you don't see them often. So I think they're going to be one to watch.
Excellent. I'm going to go Australia men to win. I just think they're going to be pretty good. I'm going to go surprise package. Silver medal, England men. I think they're so, you know, if Moses is allowed to pick Kenya, I'm going to pick England. I think the reason being, I think the style they're going to play is going to surprise people.
Yeah.
I think Rebs will have a big impact positively in terms of their approach very quickly. So I'm going to pick them. They've picked a very bold team, very aggressive team. You know, people like Zach Wallace and James Albury as right and left defender are going to be bombing on. I think they're going to play really exciting hockey, and I hope they get to the final. In terms of winning the women's, I'm going to go New Zealand, I think. I really hope that they can, because... I just think if they get to the final, it could be on the back of Olivia Mary having another really good tournament. I know I keep talking about it, but she is someone, actually, I think personally, probably was affected by the Tokyo Olympics being delayed by a year, because her form going into 2020 was unbelievable. And then she probably wasn't in the same form going into Tokyo. So I'm going to say... New Zealand women to win.
Good call.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Will, and thank you for the left field.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries.
And what about player of the tournament?
Ooh, okay. Men's player of the tournament. Go on, then.
Mustafa Kassim.
You just want to award a South African.
And on the ladies' side, it has to be the one that Will hasn't stopped talking about.
Olivia Mary.
No pressure, lads.
Listen, because I think in a range of the teams, there's someone who is potentially better than the rest of their team. So you look at Forsyth for Scotland or Draper for Wales. You know, they're probably pound for pound quite a bit better than the team that they're in.
If there's an award for young player, I think Mustafa might have it, but I think maybe he's at 20 years old. It might be a bridge too far, Bryn.
Well, it depends, obviously, if India make the awards again, or if the awards...
Well, if you send out a vote to the highest population, there's a good chance you're going to get the most votes.
Sorry, Will, I've discredited this whole podcast now, right at the end.
As long as you don't start talking about hockey fives, we'll be fine.
I couldn't.
Or COVID in camps.
Yeah. Oh. Do you want to start any more rumours? No, let's not do that. Right, I'm gonna finish up by saying again, thank you very much, everyone. Hopefully, it's a great tournament. I'm looking forward to getting down and seeing a lot of the hockey. I've got some tickets if anyone's over. But yeah, really great to talk to everyone, and I'll hopefully speak to you all soon.
Yeah, appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Cheers, bye guys.
Thank you.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.